Hey, welcome back to another episode of Did We Need That Sequel? My name is Danielle. This is my co-host. Oh, whoop, no, did I say Danielle?
I love that.
Yeah, we'll keep it in. We'll keep it in. My name is Daniel.
And I am Danielle.
Yep, and today we are joined by the absolutely fantastic Tyler Deshaun.
Marchant.
God damn it, no.
I've also changed my first name legally for this show because I thought it'd be kind of funny, like a bit, you know? So my first name is now Dan. So it's Dan, Daniel, Danielle, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right. Yeah.
Cool. It works. There you go.
Not only did I get his name wrong, I also...
Yeah, I could sue you for that. It's legal now, you know?
Not in Australia. You can't touch me. But yeah, so today, this is our very special Christmas episode of our pilot season. You know, Did We Need That Sequel? And we're touching everyone's favorite Christmas movie, Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas, which was a mid-cool to the original Beauty and the Beast, and the story is set between when Belle gets attacked by the wolves and the ballroom scene.
Yeah, in the movie, this is all sort of summarized in one big montage, and then here it's just like, hey, you want to see an hour of that? Not really, but I guess... It's interesting that you say mid-quel. I was thinking in-between-quel the entire time, but I guess yours rolls off the tongue better.
Yeah.
I just saw it on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that...
Though I do like that. In-between-quel, I like it.
Yeah. We'll get a GoFundMe going for that one. But yeah, so I guess before we get into it, what was everyone's thoughts? Tyler, you go first. You're the guest.
Do I just start by saying we didn't need the sequel? In between cool, or is that for the end?
Oh, you can say it now, we can say it at the end. Sometimes we don't say it at all. You know.
I'll say it several times.
Excellent.
It felt altogether very unnecessary.
Oh yeah, that was pretty much my thoughts as well. Danielle?
Yeah, my thoughts as well, even though, you know, I grew up with it and I felt nostalgic toward it, but yeah, just didn't need it. No.
No. Right. Well, a couple of things before we got into the story. Looking around online, this movie was originally going to be a sequel, and it was going to have Gaston's brother in it, but they scrapped that idea because it wouldn't be Beauty and the Beast anymore. It'd just be, like, Belle and that big, like, goofy...
Handsome prince.
No.
He's not really handsome, though. He's kind of gross-looking, actually.
I just presumed he was handsome.
Everybody does, so... No worries.
A little word of advice to anybody at home that might end up watching this movie because we're talking about it. If you do that, which I don't recommend, don't watch your Beauty and the Beast Blu-ray before you do so, because I made that mistake and it looks garbage in comparison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the first thing I noticed as well, was just the animation.
Right.
It looked terrible. It was like pre-80s. It looked like the Black Cauldron.
Yes. Oh, it so does.
And it's like, how did you generate this on a computer and still make it look shit?
Well, the other day on Cynical Cartoons, we were watching a movie. I don't know if either of you guys have seen this. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer from 2000.
Oh my gosh. I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah. It looks worse than this, surprisingly. But yeah, this was pretty bad. Some of the worst Disney I've seen, because I don't watch a lot of these direct-to-DVD sequels or anything like that.
Yeah. I don't think many people do.
No. You're smart.
We're catering to a niche market right here. Okay, we kind of get into it now. So this movie opens with some Christmas carol. I've forgotten it now. I watched it like an hour ago.
Oh, Deck the Halls.
Deck the Halls. And yes. It's all the villagers going into the prince's castle. So, oh yeah. So why it's a mid-call, the beginning and end are after the original film. And the Candlestick Man and Cogsworth.
Lumiere.
Yeah, Lumiere. There we go. If you can remember a character's name and I don't, just chime in with it. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so Lumiere and Cogsworth get into some fight about how they saved Christmas last year.
Right.
Don't know. Yeah, it didn't make sense. Like, even once you finish the movie, like, that had nothing to do with either of them. They were nothing but side characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're bringing up something now that I actually hadn't considered before. Who saves Christmas in this movie? Because I don't think either of them save Christmas.
Mrs. Potts says, oh, I guess Belle saved Christmas.
Yeah, but no, Belle didn't.
No, Fife. Fife saved Christmas because he was the one that, yeah, he was like, yeah, it was like Fife just like telling Forte to stop, and then that allowed Beast to tear him to shreds. But,
Right, Fife, yeah. This framing device in general is just really absurd in and of itself, because it's like they're talking about how they saved Christmas last year, and then Chip runs up and he's like a little boy now, and he's like, oh, I want to hear a story. And they're like, they should have been like, Chip, you're in this story. You're constantly in this story. You are on screen 60% of the time.
Yeah. You were a main character here, Chip, who is voiced by Haley Joel Osment.
Also from Jungle Book 2, I think.
Wow.
Is he?
Right? Yeah, he was in more of these directed DVD sequels. Here, I'll look it up while you keep going.
Goddamn. Yeah. So yeah, and we get... I think the only good part about this scene was we get to see Chip's absolute disgust when he gets a huge box that's only got socks in it.
Which, you know, like, I always would watch the scene and be like, well, I like getting socks for Christmas. Like, am I the only one? Does nobody like getting socks for Christmas?
I like getting clothes for Christmas because it means I don't need to pay for them.
I like getting clothes because, like, my family knows what I like and they can get me a t-shirt and it's like, oh, Star Wars or oh, Flash or whatever. It's like, you know that I like that. If it's socks, then it's either like, okay, these are white socks, you don't know what I like, or it's like, okay, these are Batman socks, why would I ever wear these to anything?
Yeah, you know, you may go to a fancy sock party.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Yeah. I think that you guys skipped over a very vital element of that opening framing device, which is that when it goes over to the Christmas tree, you can see all the ornaments on the Christmas tree are them from their furniture form. And it's like, why would you want that constant reminder of your like bodily imprisonment that you were stuck in for 15 years?
Oh, this movie totally doesn't even think about that. You know, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I forgot about that. That was just, when I saw that, I was like, is this movie set, like, I mean, I'm watching before or after, because this seems weird either way. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now we get to the fun part of the story actually beginning and finding out how Belle saved Christmas. So it starts off with Belle is still a prisoner in Beast Castle, and all the servants are trying to figure out a way for them to fall in love with each other and with Christmas coming up, because this is a great opportunity to bring them together.
Right, and this is like right during the song, something that we've never seen before from the movie, right?
Oh yeah, it was something about having hope.
It's like right after the wolves and everything like that, and it's like a montage in the movie. A lot of these scenes are actually in the movie in condensed versions.
Yeah.
So it's just a very large montage, I think. Yeah, we said earlier. Yeah, so I think the movie opens with her skating, doesn't it?
Well, it's actually them and the servants in the castle, and they're trying to figure out a way to get these two together, and they run into Belle.
Right.
Who says, oh, it's Christmas Eve, which, you know, she's talking about planning for Christmas. It's a little late being Christmas Eve. I think this would have come up earlier, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like when you're a prisoner in a castle.
I guess so.
Yeah, I was about to say, it seems like a real ploy to try and make herself happy again.
Yeah, just like...
Yeah.
I'm currently stuck in a domestic abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And I can't get out.
When she brings up Christmas, though, like, everybody, like, shies away from it, and they're all scared because they know that, like, the Beast hates Christmas, and it's like that... That might have come up in the movie that he got turned into the Beast on Christmas. Like, they should all hate Christmas.
Yeah.
Because I'm a candlestick man because of Christmas.
Yeah. And then Chip had no idea what Christmas was. He's like, what's Christmas? And you're like, Chip, you're like 5 years old here.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You live in France. Have you not experienced Christmas yet?
Well, that's something, too, is like, do they age when they're under the spell?
That was something that I was thinking about as well,
because later on we see the prince before he was changed over, and he's like this snobby little brat, and then later on you see him and he's like, hey, how's it going, I'm a man now.
Yeah,
but then there's like this five-year-old teacup boy
with
that I don't think has always been a teacup,
with some kind of like physical injury done to him, because he's got a chip missing out of his head. That's what I realized as well.
I thought that it was the tooth, though, when he turns back into a human.
It is.
He's just missing a little baby tooth. Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There we go. I didn't know that. That makes sense. I was really worried for him for a long time there. So yeah, and then yeah, so that's right. It transitions into you should go skating. Yeah, and then we get the weird skate scene between Belle and the Beast, which felt like just some dodgy rom-com pairing.
Oh, it did.
Right. There's a lot of padding for time in this movie. I think that that's right before or after we're introduced to our villain, Tim Curry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right before. Because Tim Curry is kind of strapped to a wall just going, oh, they're being happy.
Which he's probably the best part of this movie, Tim Curry, I have to say. Just his voice acting.
I think his performance is incredible. I think that character looks disgusting and is not necessary at all.
And then we saw his human form as well, and you're like, man, this is really poorly, like, yeah. So yeah, if you haven't watched the film, Tim Curry is the only CG animated aspect of it, because for whatever reason Disney wanted to do a traditional 2D animation with a CG animation thrown in there for shits and gigs,
right?
And it's essentially just a giant organ bolted into a wall who can't do anything but play music.
Sad music, though, because later on they ask him to play happy music and he's like, fuck this shit. Can I cuss on this show?
Yeah, you can cuss on this
okay,
show.
Okay, cool.
I'm yet to figure out how to market explicit. I think iTunes does it for me. If not, we're probably going to receive a complaint at some point.
Right.
Yeah, and then it flashes back to showing him in his original form and you're like, oh man, this guy's fucking ugly anyway. Like, this, he looks like a zombie. Like, he's got green skin.
I don't know if you realize this, but he is very much modeled after Tim Curry. I mean, when he goes back to his human form.
Yeah, definitely. And this always threw me off as a kid. I was like, wait, he looks so much different compared to the rest of the animation. So I feel like if you notice it as a kid, then there's an issue, you know, where I'm like, oh, that's weird. Seeing Forte looking, he's scary looking, by the way.
Yeah. There's Forte, the giant organ, and then there's and he is Beast's best friend, and then his little best friend Fife is a little piccolo, who he keeps promising a solo but will never give one.
Oh, God, Fife, what a dumbass!
And then Forte has probably got the worst motivation of any. I mean, every movie we've watched, we've gone, no, this person's got the worst motivation of any Disney villain ever. Like, we've had mother issues, we've had just poaching in The Rescuers, and but this one was legitimately, I don't want to be a human again, I want to stay an organ forever.
Right. Like, because he's Beast's best friend as an organ, because he makes him sad. And why would you not want to be human again, though?
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, right here it says, he believes that humanity is overrated and that he has more use and power in his enchanted form.
I'm just imagining, like, as the entire castle, everybody's, like, singing, you know, we'll be human again. He's, like, sitting there, like, playing a really sad song. He's like, I don't want to be human. I will stay an organ forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, with his motivation, he's always going on saying, oh, yeah, well, you're lucky. You're not bolted up against this wall. Like, you can move around the castle. It's like, dude, you can too. Just, like, stop making him sad. Play an upbeat tune.
Wait, why? Did they say why Beast chained him up to the wall?
Right.
Oh, no, that's just how organs are. Like, they're just bolted into a wall because they've got the giant metal pipes.
Sure.
Yeah. And
I don't know if you're screwing with me right now. I don't know anything about organs. I can't dispute it. So.
Okay. No. Yeah. No. I know a little bit about organs.
Okay. Cool.
I did a summer semester in organ construction. No, I didn't. No, because the pipes are so heavy, you need to bolt them up. Otherwise, they'll just fall over.
So him being bolted to the wall is his cross to bear, apparently.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, yeah. Most organs are generally built up against a wall, just so that it provides more support.
So at the end of the movie, I mean, to spoil that moment, when he unchains himself, he should just fall over flat on his face.
Yeah.
And that's it, no threat.
Yeah. More importantly, Belle should have just kissed Beast, because it's already established that she loves him in this movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff in this movie that kind of ruins motivations in the original, which I guess we'll get to.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, Forte's little buddy Fife is his little, like, that's his eyes around the castle. He's not really, I don't know. I thought the obnoxious little piccolo thing was kind of hilarious, actually.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked Fife. Yeah. But he was a very similar character to what we've seen in other ones, like the dugong in Little Mermaid 3.
Yes.
And something else. I can't remember. But
I was gonna say Tip and Dash.
What are Tip and Dash from?
Oh, that's The Little Mermaid too.
Oh, okay. I didn't listen to that episode. I listened to three. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Tip and Dash. They're kind of, they're not evil characters. They're just kind of.
So I mean, yeah, it's a lot of the same motivation as in the original movie. Like Belle is stuck there and Beast wants to fall in love with her, but not really because he hasn't accepted that yet. And he hates Christmas, like we said earlier. And she's talking about like setting up a whole Christmas thing. And if she does it, then he'll come around. And she's like, I need to get Christmas presents for everybody.
Yeah.
I kind of had an issue with that because how are you? You're locked up in the castle. So everything in the castle already belongs to Beast.
Exactly.
You can't just give things out. I don't think that furniture can own other furniture.
It was like, yeah, it was like that time when, it was a couple of years ago, my mm-hmm. brother had bought me Gears of War 2, and it was dirt cheap, it was on sale.
Right.
And he given to me a couple of weeks in advance, and on Christmas Day, I unwrap it, after I've been playing it, I was like, dude, did you just re-gift me something you gave to me, like, 2 weeks ago for graduating high school? Like,
yes.
I thought you were about to say that he stole something of yours and then gave it back to you for Christmas. I think that's an Arrested Development joke, though.
Yeah, that is. Classic Arrested Development. It's always spot on.
So she decides to make Beast a book.
Yeah. Little Mermaid, a little.
Which, I like that scene because it had a lot of throwbacks to the Renaissance films.
Yeah.
It did Sleeping Beauty.
Which I don't think is a Renaissance film, Sleeping Beauty. Did it do that one?
No, it's not.
I just kind of saw Finding a Dragon, presumably with Sleeping Beauty.
Right.
It is, I think, but I forget what year that came out.
Towards the end of it, there's like a solar system kind of thing going on, and I really felt like a Treasure Planet vibe, even though this is like 4 years earlier, so maybe that's like a little hint at that. Like Pixar always hints their next movie coming out.
Yeah, maybe. But the only thing I would say, though, about this scene is that tonally, it doesn't seem to fit with the rest of the movie. It's so beautiful, and the rest of the movie is so ugly.
There's one scene later on, I guess, I mean, I could just say it now. It's like the one where, like, the organ finally turns against Beast and sort of, like, sends his big, like, green kid monsters after him or whatever. Like, the music monsters. And that was actually, like, stunning to me. I loved that, and that was really innovative. This, though, like, the music in the movie is not memorable at all, in my opinion. Like, they really could have used some Alan Menken, or, like, Howard Ashman, you know, just, like, the classic guys that did all the music for those movies.
Yeah, right. Definitely. Particularly when you've got Tim Curry. Like, if you've got Tim Curry on board, you need to have some decent music on board, because he's gonna get some people, and people are like, oh yeah, I watched Rocky Horror Picture Show, and if he was the creative genius behind that, and he wanted to do this, there must be something worth it.
What other musical thing has he done that's, like, up to snuff, though? Because I saw this really amazing video of, it's, like, Tim Curry wishes you a happy Halloween or whatever, and it's really tacky. I don't know.
Ooh, yeah, maybe I'm just... All I knew was Tim Curry did Rocky Horror Picture Show. I haven't really followed his career that much.
Right.
But yeah, no, I definitely agree with the music. Because I think a lot of this film was just tonally... I didn't like it tonally because it was very much a kind of... Oh, it's a happy, cheerful... Not that I didn't like it because it was a happy, cheerful film. But everyone was so upbeat the entire time that there was no kind of... There wasn't any real conflict in the film whatsoever up until the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, and it's like a big problem with this. It's all about Belle trying to save the Beast the entire time, and there's just no motivation there for her. She should be, like, I don't know, missing her father on the holidays. I don't know.
Yeah, no mention of all of the horrible predicament that she's in right now.
No, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of, I just found it so annoying, because even in that part of the film, I mean, yeah, when Beast saves her from the wolves, that was the turning point in the original. And then, but even in this, she was just kind of, it was as if she was already in love.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, this movie is very obligatory. Like, nothing about this is necessary, and even the fact that they were like, we have to put it in the middle of the story because they were sort of happy at the end of Beauty and the Beast, you know? It's... It's hard to do. And they even did a third one called, like, Belle's Enchanted World or something like that. I don't know if you guys are going to watch that one.
Yes, Belle's Magical World. That'll be our next episode.
Oh, cool. Awesome. I think it's kind of screwed up that they keep all the Christmas-based furniture and decorations and everything in the attic.
Yeah.
like they're not allowed to live with the rest of society just because the witch, like, arbitrarily turned them into Christmas stuff.
Okay, yeah. That brings up 2 points, kind of. Yeah, so the next part in the plot was they start looking for all the Christmas decorations that the Beast banished, and then it shows why Beast hates Christmas, and it's just... Beast wasn't even a bad guy when he got turned into it. Like, he was just a bratty kid. It was, like, he was a teenage prince. Like, that was his problem. And then, like, this bitchy old lady just knocks on the door and is like, oh, I'll give you this rose if I can stay here tonight. And he's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. And then she reveals herself to be this beautiful person. And she's like, not only am I going to curse you, I'm going to curse all these innocent people who also hate fucking working for you.
Right. Well, you know, that's on her, though. She is not... Her motivation doesn't make a lot of sense, but also, he was a terrible person. Like, Forte is just like, I composed a song for you, sir, and then he listens to it for, like, 2 seconds, and he's like, no, I don't like it.
My favorite thing about Human Forte was just, like, all the piano stuff he had on. Like, he had piano cuffs, and it's like, dude, why did they just cover him piano memorabilia? Like, all he needed was, like, a piano tie. And then
it's as if some force in the world knew that he'd be turned into an organ someday. So
And then with the Christmas decorations and the witch turning people into stuff, there is a bunch of stuff in this film where it would just suck to be turned into an item. Like, there was baubles that don't even have mouths.
Oh, absolutely. And this is like 4 days before all the villagers show up to try and burn them all alive.
Yeah, and like right before Belle gets her skates, like that skate rack.
Yeah.
Well, that is just a person nailed up against a wall, and its only job and the only thing it can do is hold skates.
Well, they're pleased to serve their master. Like, they like that. According to the film.
No, I don't think they are. I don't think that they're happy with their predicament.
Well, I don't know. They seem pretty happy.
I don't know why they stick around at the end. Like, after Beast becomes a good person or whatever, and he, like, turns back into a human and they all turn back to humans, it's like, you guys want to bail? We're all human now. He was a jerk to us for 15 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And I should also point out about the scene in the past where we see Beast with all the servants at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually supposed to be a lot younger, because in the original film, it's made pretty clear that he was probably around 10 or 11 years old when he was transformed. Because in Be Our Guest, it says 10 years we've been resting.
Oh.
And then in the prologue, it says, like, on his 21st year, if he doesn't break the spell, then... he will remain a beast for all time.
Well, that's the weird thing for me, though, is, like I was saying earlier, do these people all age while they're... Because he seems like he gets older, but if you're thinking about it that way, if it's been 10 years, then Chip must have been a baby before, because he's...
Chip was conceived as a teacup.
Yeah, I was about to say, does Chip... Do these, like... Does all this silverware go through puberty? Is it growing as it goes?
Starts getting a little moldy around the handle.
Yeah, can they die?
I don't know. And then that was the thing when they're talking about food, when preparing for Christmas, and they're like, you want some turkey, don't you, Cogsworth? And it's like, how is he going to digest that? Like, he's a clock. He's legitimately a clock. He doesn't have the internal system to actually digest food. I don't know what they're living on right now.
Minuscule details.
And also, though... Also, they all seem so excited to cook for Belle in the movie, and I think that's just because, like, Beast eats nothing but raw meat. Like, because in the movie, you see him, and she's like, no, this is how you eat with a spoon, and he's like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, this is dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they finally find all the Christmas decorations upstairs, and then we get introduced to the aptly named Angelique, who is a Christmas angel.
Right. Who used to be the decorator of the castle.
And it was probably one of the most annoying characters I've ever had to deal with. It was just her.
She's voiced by Bernadette Peters, in case anybody was wondering.
What else has Bernadette done?
I don't know.
Wasn't she Ursula?
No. That was Pat Carroll voiced Ursula.
Who was Bernadette Peters?
I don't know what else Bernadette Peters has done.
She was in Annie, Anastasia, the jerk with Steve Martin. That's cool.
Oh.
And Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return.
Oh, that sounds like a winner.
Yeah, and Angelique, surprisingly, just doesn't want to help them out. She's like, nah, Beast hates Christmas. I'm happy to stay up here in my dusty old box with, like, these...
Well, she's probably afraid that he's going to break her. He's just going to, like, pick her up and throw her out a window or something, and she's made out of porcelain.
Yeah, like, I would hate to be a fucking ball that sentient, because you're legitimately just a small thing of glass. Like, you could just bounce and kill yourself.
Well, I think that that might be a plus in this world, though, because if you feel like killing yourself, at least it'd be easy for the ornaments, like...
Seriously? And they're bouncing all the time in the song.
Yeah. Like with Cogsworth, you'd have to, like, throw yourself off a cliff or something because you'd still be sentient as, like, a broken clock. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. Yeah.
Yeah. And Fife, the innocent Piccolo, spies them planning Christmas
the darker
and then goes
side.
Down and dubs them into CGI Fort. CG Fort. And then Fort ends up telling Beast, and Beast is like, oh, I hate Christmas and all that stuff, and he finds Belle hanging out downstairs in the boiler room, which I loved, because there's just all these New Jersey axes. It was like, New Jersey, hey, get out of the way, I'm walking here, like...
Right.
I love that, and it didn't make sense. I didn't understand at first when Belle was like, oh, I'm just looking for some wood, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And...
Well, I was a little bit weirded out by it because they do, like, an entire screaming musical, you know? Like, they're doing, like, their whole thing. And they do so many musicals in that movie, and then Beast doesn't hear any of it. It's like, the castle's big. It's not that big.
Oh, yeah, and it was, like, it was a secret Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That involved decorating the entire castle.
Well, we should also comment on the song, As Long As There's Christmas. What do you guys think of that song?
Oh, I hated that song.
I don't remember that song.
It made me hate Christmas. It made me hate Christmas. I hated every single moment of that song.
But it had such beautiful lyrics. We'll all be just fine.
As long as it's Christmas.
Yes. Oh.
There was something about partying till July or something.
Is that the song that just repeats the same thing over and over again?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I know that there was one of those in this movie.
Yeah, and it happened. They played it about twice.
Yeah.
It has no verse, just a chorus that they play for 2 minutes straight.
Yeah, it's like, as long as it's Christmas, yeah. Or something like that. Yeah, so Beast finds her down there right after she's picked up the perfect piece of wood.
The Yule log,
yeah. I've never heard of this. Is that an American thing?
No.
Where did she say everybody kisses the Yule log and makes a wish?
Everyone touches it and makes a wish.
Oh, touches it. I have never heard of that, no. But I know what a Yule log is, I just never heard of that tradition.
That would have been cool if they could have incorporated some of that tradition more into this film. It would have made it slightly better, not good.
Yeah. So many drop balls, yeah. I just realized, though, it may not be an American tradition, it may be a French tradition, because it's set in France.
Which would have been cool. But, you know.
Still, it sounds like a dumb tradition.
Oh,
what kind of traditions do you guys have about Christmas in Australia?
Drinking beer, eating prawns. There's not that many. Sure. Just going to...
It's hot there, though, during December.
Yeah, it's going for a swim.
Wow.
Like, yeah, we have cold ham. Like, I don't know. Yeah. We have turkey and stuff like that, but...
Fake snow.
Yeah, we go to our annual church. Go to church.
Church of Australia.
The one time of the year. Yeah. Oh, no, you know, you just do that once a year mass just to, you know...
Yeah.
Get some Christmas in. Try and, if you weren't giving me a Santa's good list that year, you're like, nah, went to mass, dude. Did the Eucharist. I'm good.
Is this... In the plot, is this before or after she tries to cut down a little tree for Christmas tree using a sentient axe who doesn't want to do it?
Yeah, this was before that. I think that was like the next scene. That was pretty much coming up. We're jumping all over the place, but it's fine. yeah, that's right. Yeah, because after this, they go looking to chop down the little trees.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of stuff that happened in the plot that I didn't write down because I was very...
Disinterested?
I was zoning out through this movie. Yeah, I was very disinterested, yeah.
Same.
Yeah, it was one of these things. And, like, this, what do you call it? Summary just isn't helping either.
Right.
Like, it's also jumping over everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing I want to quickly say about the boiler room scene is, like, why are we supposed to care about the Beast in this film? Because they don't give us any reason to care about him. He is such...
He is a giant toddler.
Oh my gosh, like...
Yeah, he's horrible.
He is, and it's like...
And I guess I guess that he couldn't be good because he's not good at this point in the movie, but it's like, why would you set it then?
Mm. Right, exactly. At that point,
just figure out something else. Turn him back into a beast and make it a sequel.
Yeah, it was...
Or turn her into a beast.
Oh. And then he leaves her.
What?
Yeah. That'd be so much better. And that's just...
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, and that's the thing, is that he was still a beast all along. The beast inside.
That'd be great.
And then... I think we should write for Disney.
I'm hoping one of them listens to this one day. We get Disney out, because we did some pretty good ones with Rescuers and Little Mermaid 3.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
All right.
Yeah, this is the part where they take the sentient axe, who just absolutely hates doing anything besides chopping wood. And he's like, yeah, I'm kind of busy. Can we pick this up a little? And she just starts hitting him against a tree. And he's like, yeah, you know, I ain't got nothing better to do. Just take your time. And, then who tells her to go to the Black Forest? Was it Fife?
It's Forte because... So, I think... I forget exactly how it leads to this, but Forte starts playing music to lure Belle... up to him, and then he manages to tell her to go to the Black Forest. I think it's sort of also that Chip is like, oh, please, Belle, can we go? Because apparently there's no good trees on the castle grounds.
Right, because the tree sucks. That isn't that where she just went to get mauled by wolves like a week ago? Did she just do this exact same thing?
Right, Belle's smarter than this. I'm just saying.
And then like,
but you know,
Harushi was going into the Black Forest, which like, oh, I told Beast I wasn't gonna leave.
Right.
I can't, you know, and yeah, and then she was like, no, come on, we need a nice tree because everything down there is not gonna be able to hold shit.
Well, and then Forte says the tree was always his favorite part of Christmas. Mm. And Belle's like, well, okay. I guess it's worth it then.
Yeah, she get the nice tree to make up for, like, the book that she makes. And then what happened? This is one of those spots where I zoned out as well.
She goes out in the forest and falls in the ice. And then, like, all the furniture people come after her.
That's right, she was stuck under ice.
Yeah, and she should have gotten hypothermia.
She was trapped under it, and then they smashed through the ice with, like, the axe or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like they lift her out, and then she falls back in again.
Well, yeah. Which the tree is pulling her down.
Oh.
Like the rope wraps around her leg because tree had fallen in the water.
Yeah.
Which I remember because I watched this movie on YouTube one time when, you know, YouTube had movies on there for free, and and one of the comments was saying how like it's not possible for a tree to be able to sink like that in the water. There's no way it could have dragged her down like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I thought that was a little inconsistent. But not only that, but we forgot to mention that the Beast, he finds the present that Belle had given him.
That's right.
And so he wants to set up something for her, so he plans like a romantic dinner and has Forte playing music.
Right.
and that's where we get the scene with Forte singing. Deck the Halls, I think.
Yeah, and Mrs. Potts just like, oh, do you want some tea? He's like, no, I don't. Like, I want dinner. Like, where the hell is Belle? And he's like, oh, you sure you don't want some tea? It's always good to have tea. He's like, wait, are you stalling me?
She's trying to drug him.
Yeah.
So that they can all make an escape. She can see his anger blooming, and he's gonna freak out any minute now.
Yeah, and then Mrs. Potts ends up telling him that that Belle was in the Black Forest, and then...
Well, they actually can't find her. They don't know she's there.
Oh, okay.
Only Lumiere and Cogsworth know.
And Piccolo guy.
Right, yes, and Fife.
So how does Beast know?
What?
How does Beast know the Belle's in the Black Forest?
That's a good question.
Movie magic? I don't know. This movie's not written very well. I don't know if you didn't notice, but it's not exactly high caliber.
Well, that as well. No, they actually, he looks in the mirror and he sees her.
Mm.
So, good on you, Disney.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yep. And that's when Fort. Yeah. And that, yeah, and Fort says, oh, dude, don't go after her. Like, she's abandoned you. I'm your only friend. It's kind of like a real creepy in that sense.
Is he gay? I'm just wondering. Like, couldn't it be a cool fan theory if Forte was gay and he really loved the Beast and he didn't want him to fall in love with Belle?
Kiss me, Beast.
It would be a weird fan theory because Forte is like 60 and Beast is like 12. when he's human, so that'd be kind of screwed up.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
I'm now just imagining the scene of, like, the beast climbing up the pipes just to kiss that weird CGI face.
Master, I wrote you a song. I don't like it. And then he spits on him or something, yeah.
Oh god.
Oh god. This.
Now that's the sequel we need. That was the sequel that we needed.
The scene where she breaks into the ice and they all come to rescue her or whatever just kind of, like, made me wish that I was watching Beauty and the Beast twice in a row. Just because, like, I remember seeing that movie in IMAX. That's, like, one of the only movies I saw in IMAX when I was really young. And it just, I mean, it looks incredible on Blu-ray and in that format, you know? And this is just, like, kind of, I guess this is happening. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm. And for me, the worst part of the animation is the character animation. Especially with Belle, because she looks different in every single shot. Did anybody else notice that? Mm. Like,
yeah, there was no consistency. That did annoy me a lot as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, I grew up with this movie, so whenever I think of it, I'm like, what does she look like again? In that shot, she looks like this, but in that shot, she looks like that. Okay, whatever.
But then, yeah, so Beast ends up rescuing Belle from drowning, and his response is, I'm going to lock her up in the dungeon again, because that'll make her love me. That'll make her love me.
Right. Almost drowned.
Right. And that's what I was talking about, like, the moment that sort of ruins this movie. Because, like, a little while ago, they were doing this really great scene where, like, they were making snow angels together, and Beast makes his, and it looks like a demon, and he's like, oh, I'll never be beautiful, or whatever. And it's like, oh, that's really nice. They're kind of falling in love. And he's like, fuck it, lock her up in the dungeon. I don't care. It's like, didn't you already do this? Isn't this already?
Yep.
Right.
You're backtracking, bro.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem with this movie. It's that it's trying to tell, like, a story that's already told in the first movie. So they're trying to, like, show them falling in love and make that the issue. And it's like, wait.
I just want to see, I want to see more in-between quills. Like, I want to see the part in Two Towers where they skip just Sam and Frodo walking with nothing happening for a month. I want to see that condensed down to 2 hours and nothing happens the entire movie. Make it a cartoon, low budget, terrible animation.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can just watch Deathly Hallows Part 1 and get the exact same experience. Just cut out any scene that isn't them camping.
I like that movie a lot.
Hey.
Oh, no, I do enjoy that movie, but that is a camping film.
Hey, I do like the camping scenes, though.
Yeah.
But to be fair, they could have, if they weren't, like, telling a love story and instead just, like, focusing on certain things that had happened when Belle was at the castle,
yeah,
they could have made, like, an animated TV series and actually made it good.
Well, that was the other thing. I was saying, if they took out the love story and just focused on Belle trying to create a Christmas, now that she's starting to trust Beast a little bit more, and Beast is just being kind of still anguished over his past and what happened to him that Christmas day, and just more of, like, a character piece with showing Beast having to accept, sure, there was bad stuff that happened to him in his past, but he can't let that kind of define him future and surely, and, like, slowly just show him becoming more human. I feel like that would have been the exact same film, just without all of the love scenes.
I feel like there's just no way to win with this midquel. I say chuck it.
And we haven't even gotten to the ending yet. So, yeah, after Beast throws Belle in the dungeon, all the other ornaments come.
Yeah, we get a song, a reprise of As Long As There's Christmas, which I know it's a bad song, but I actually find the reprise very beautiful.
With Angelique?
Yes, I find it very
beautiful. And they're just doing the waltz or whatever it was.
Yeah. You know, it could be a nostalgia thing, but
I just couldn't care less when it happened. Yeah. I think it's definitely a nostalgia thing, because I didn't watch this movie growing up at all. I just saw it for the first time today. So
lucky you.
Yeah. I watched a lot of terrible movies as a kid, though. So, like I was saying earlier, I mean, I don't know if it's around this time, but, like, Tim Curry's got this big song that actually has some really cool animation stuff going on. Like, there's whenever he plays music,
that's when you're talking about. Yeah, that's when, before the scene where she falls in the lake, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, he's like, playing a big, like, crazy evil guy song or whatever, and there's, like, all these little green musical notes running around and stuff like that. And it's interesting because they're, I mean, it looks almost like unformed animation, like outlines and stuff like that, but it's really cool and kind of actually a format-breaking thing that they don't do at all in this movie aside from that.
Definitely, yeah, I really like that scene as well, and just watching Beast kind of get confused by the words, because that was when Forte was just saying, "Nah, she's abandoned you. Just stay, hang out with me." That was what that song was about. Yeah. And it was Beef just kind of getting confused by the words, and he couldn't tell if the Cupids were attacking him or friendly. So yeah, right. I thought that was nice, yeah. Kind of like little showing like these words could either be words of like friendship or words of disdain or something.
And this song, this had weird lyrics too, because at one point Forte, he says it's hell, like, and I'm like, wow, they could say that in a, I just found that strange that they said that in this movie. But then there was, I had subtitles up. At one point, one of the lyrics said, "You'll go to pot." Did anybody pick up on that?
Yep. Yeah, no, because, yeah, I also had subtitles on, and there was just some really, it felt like half these songs were just written so that they'd work, and they were just using an A-B rhyming thing. It was pretty annoying. But,
moving on.
Yeah.
I don't even remember where we left off.
This film.
Oh, yes.
Belle's locked up in the dungeon.
Oh, we left it off with, like, Angelique, yeah, with the reprise, and then Beast comes in, and is like, this is why... He reads Belle's book, and is like, oh, there is hope, like, there's still hope, yeah, to break this curse. Goes down to the dungeon to, like, apologize to Belle, sees the reprise, and goes, you know what? You're okay, Belle. And then Fort hears this somehow, and goes, fuck it, let's bring this castle down. And just starts smashing out the bass notes as, like,
right.
What is essentially an earthquake starts destroying this castle.
Yeah, and then Beast goes up and
I think
fights him. Does he kill him? I don't even remember what happened. I seem to remember him running out a window, but I don't think that happens.
He breaks the keys so that he can't play any more notes.
Basically breaking his fingers off.
Oh my gosh. That just got so much darker. Wow.
I love it.
Organs don't feel pain. It's fine.
Yeah, it was I remember he was smashing up the keyboard so that Fife was just like, master the keys. And then like, so yeah, Beast goes and destroys that.
I think, yeah, Fife turns on him. I forgot. Fife turns on him because he is promising Fife the entire time, yeah, I'll give you a piccolo solo or whatever. And at the end of the movie, he's just like, nah, I didn't write you a solo. You don't get one.
Well, Fife had the best character development of everybody.
He was the strongest part of this film. But yeah,
he was.
Somehow Beast ends up killing Forte, and then
Forte, he pulls himself out of the wall.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because remember, I don't quite know why. Like, he just is kind of freaking out, but
just gets super strength.
Yeah, he just kind of pulls himself out of the wall, and he's like, "Oh, crap!" Like, okay.
Well, because in the movie, there's a very definitive, yes, Gaston falls off the top of this building. What happens to the villain in this? Like, he...
I'm presumed dead.
But how? Did he run out a window? He fell on his face, right?
He falls on his face.
Yeah, he fell on his face, suffocated.
Or he's just alive and they keep him locked up somewhere. They, like, pulled all his keys out so he can't play anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, no, it legitimately says, with Fife's advice, he destroys Forte's keyboard, causing him to come crashing down and Beast laments to death. So maybe it was like his rib cage and it was essentially just puncturing like holes in his lungs and heart. Yeah, too dark for children.
That's what a lot of the Amazon reviews said, yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness. This film is violent. Don't show your kids this movie.
Yeah, and then I think that this was another point for me. Now the castle's destroyed, it's a midcool. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was just about to say, yep.
That means, from that point onwards, in Beauty and the Beast, the castle should be destroyed, but it isn't.
Well, I mean, and also, there's a lot of dramatic stuff going on at this point in the movie. It's like,
yeah,
yes, she's falling in love with Beast, but her dad is being put in the loony bin, and all the villagers are, like, coalescing to come and get her. It's like, why is that stuff not part of this dramatic thing in this movie?
Right. Well, not only that, but, like, everything that happens, like, it forgets that it has another movie to go along with it, because you'd think that these characters would be, I don't know, affected by what happened to them on Christmas, and not just at the end and the beginning of, you know, this movie, but in the actual movie. So
they just have PTSD and they're just trying to push on through. They're like, as long as we can get these two to fall in love still, then it'll be fine. We can be human again.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then so after that scene, it just flashes forward again. Back to the present day with Mrs. Potts finishing the story saying Belle saved Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't forget, they put up the tree that Belle
got
from the Black Forest.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a year later. This is like a year after almost. all the stuff went down. Okay. And they give the kid a book.
Yeah.
Right?
Because apparently he loves stories now. Did he like...
I don't know why Chip is... He didn't like the socks. I think that he just likes to read. I don't know why he's like the central kid, though. There's like... Gotta be a lot of kids in this castle.
Well, you know. Gotta hark back.
I don't understand why he's there in the first place.
Well...
Like, he's the son of the cook.
Yeah, I mean...
He doesn't even live there. I mean, he lives there, but doesn't he have, like, a bunch of brothers and sisters from Beauty and the Beast?
I know, right?
Yeah, but they don't have names. They don't matter.
Yeah, they don't.
Okay.
They're like Ariel's sisters. Like, nobody could possibly care.
Fair enough. Oh, you haven't seen The Little Mermaid 3.
Exactly. You know, that would have been a cool movie. That would have been a cool movie, like, about Mrs. Potts and her kids.
No, I don't think so.
Why not? It would be so much fun. I don't know.
It's after all that Beast basically like walks in and he's like, hey everybody, let's get a song, and then everybody like moves aside and
there's...
And that's why I turned it off.
Yeah. it's Fife, yeah. And he's the new like composer.
Yeah, it's Fife.
And he finally gets a solo.
I don't like his human form.
No?
Yeah, he finally got his solo. Yeah, I don't like his human form. He just looks a little weird to me, but that could be just nitpicking.
Right.
No, he looked weird, but he looks weird as a Piccolo. Like, it's the same as Lemuel and Cogsworth. Like, if you've been turned into a candle and a grandfather clock, it's because you look fucking weird as a human. Like, Miss...
You know, this Enchantress... Yeah. She's so smart. Like, how did she know all their personalities?
Yeah, that's a pretty complex spell. Like,
I mean, Disney magic can do a lot of stuff. I'm assuming that that's not outside of the realm of possibilities for this.
Definitely not.
That's true.
But, yeah, so that was Belle's Enchanted Christmas.
No, the Enchanted Christmas.
Beauty and the Beast. The Enchanted Christmas. I was going to mix up with the third one.
Well, they're both bad.
Belle's Magical World. Yeah, they're both horrendous. They kind of...
No, but... Belle's Magical World, and let me just forewarn you, is so much worse than this, so you can look forward to that.
Great. I'm sure everyone's looking forward to that one then. So, favorite part of the film for everyone. You're not allowed to say when it finished. That's...
Oh, man.
God, why? Okay. Why don't you go first, Tyler?
If I have to. I actually liked the scene with the snow angels thing, and like he makes his own snow angel, and it comes out like, well, I can't even talk, and it like comes out like beastly.
Yeah,
that's really kind of compelling actually, and kind of an interesting way to delve into that character. And there's no more of that in this entire movie. It's just all mindless Christmas gibberish. So I liked that moment a lot.
Yeah, I think that was my moment too, but not for the same reasons. I just love the part. It's like, oh, it looks like a snow demon. And he just goes, rawr, and just jumps on top and just starts spraying snow everywhere. Just like the equivalent of a toddler tantrum. Just like, I hate this.
He's just a little baby.
This is dumb. I'm going to my room. Yeah, like, I just love that part. I was like, oh, okay, so he's an idiot still.
No.
Yeah, I couldn't stop laughing at that part. But that was...
It worked.
I don't think that was meant to be funny.
I think my favorite part is just the animation in the song stories, just because it's so beautiful. It doesn't seem like it fits into this film, but I like that segment. I like the song, too, but again, as I keep saying, it's a nostalgia thing. I know it's bad, but...
Yeah, remind me of the book from Shrek.
Oh, it's... Yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Beginning and end of the Shrek films. It kind of reminded me of that a little. I didn't mind that.
Yeah, that's really cool, actually.
The whole stained glass thing, yeah.
Yeah. But... This is our favorite part of the show. this is the part where we go into the internet and see what people have said about this film before we decide to talk about it. So, onto Amazon reviews. I think, Tyler, you said you had a couple that you were keen to share?
Yeah, I got two that I'm pretty proud of, actually, tracking these down. And I sort of condensed them because there's a lot of extraneous stuff in them. But yeah, here we go. This is a 1-star review titled, I Only Received the Beast. And it says, there I was, popcorn, slippers, fake fire created by the iPad, looking for the perfect video to wind down my 24-hour Christmas cartoon marathon. See, sometimes I have to remember the past and remember how good things used to be. I saw this movie and remembered all the good times I used to have watching it with all my childhood friends around the holidays. A giant smile erupted as I realized that I could watch it over Amazon. I ran over to the computer and was ready to hit play until I found out that, and this is all in caps, the license prohibits somebody from watching it on Christmas. 1-star.
That is
That's
great.
Horrible. Why would they do that if you're going to rent it and pay to rent it? Why would you not be allowed to watch it on Christmas?
Wow.
Because you must be spending time with family, Tyler.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, Disney is a family company.
No one should be watching TV on Christmas. No one... Netflix shuts down on Christmas. everyone does it. It's
all the theaters, you know? We're not going to be able to get to go see Star Wars on Christmas.
Yeah.
And here's another one that I found that I liked a lot. It says, a wonderful, cheery holiday classic. Classic is all in caps. This is one of the best sequels I've ever seen. I'm obsessed with Beauty and the Beast, and this sequel allowed me to visit all my old friends and introduce me to new ones like Angelique, Fife and the Ornaments, and Forte, the evil villain, is stunningly animated and is a better villain than Gaston. I highly recommend this movie to everyone. 5 stars.
How old was this person?
I don't know, but it's in 2003. I kind of want to track him down and show him this and be like, you see what you said 12 years ago?
That would.
Come on, man. We need to... Oh, that'd be a great documentary, tracking down Amazon reviewers. I really hate... This may just be me, but I really hate him. Like, return to see all your old friends and and here are some new ones. Right. And, like, it was always in trailers, and when say new friends, it just showed the new characters, and you're like, oh, fuck yeah, new characters, woo! But, yeah, no, I hated the use of friends as a term for watching a sequel. It just annoyed me so much. But yeah, Danielle, did you have any?
I do. I have one here. It's titled 50% Scary Movie, 40% Filler, and 10% Fun. So I won't read the whole thing, but there's many paragraphs. But the one that stood out to me was, this movie has very little to do with Christmas on any level. No Santa, no birth of Jesus. Christmas is just the... Sorry.
War on Christmas. Disney's propagating a war on Christmas.
Oh, apparently. Because you know Disney. They're not going to go into this stuff. The story just focuses on the Christmas season just before the Beast learned to love.
Aww.
Aww. Yes. But there's a lot here. Maybe I'll... I should put a link into the show notes so you can read the whole thing. It's really long, but it's funny.
Excellent.
But most of them, honestly, are just saying, this was way too dark for my children. That's what a lot of them are saying.
Yeah, I had to troll through a lot of these reviews to find two that were actually compelling enough to read on air. A lot of them were very, very boring.
This movie upset my children. I'm like, fuck, that's...
Yeah.
It's rated G. How bad are your children?
What can you expect? Like, Disney sequel people, come on. Don't they know?
Well, I mean, as if that stuff isn't actually in the Disney Renaissance movies. I mean, look at Lion King, look at Beauty and the Beast, all that kind of stuff. There's people dying on screen and all that kind of stuff in those movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I love the title for some of these. One is Do Not Buy This Video for Toddlers, in all caps. Whatever. Major Disney fail. Low budget, which, you know, duh.
Yeah.
Let's see. Christmas downer. Yeah, this would be a downer to watch on Christmas, I feel like. Not fun.
Probably for different reasons than they had, though. I'm sure that they felt it was a downer because it was too sad. I was just depressed watching it because this is my life. This is what I'm doing with it.
I think I found the ultimate review.
What?
Critical reception. I'm on its Wikipedia page.
Oh, okay.
Reviews for the film had been generally mixed to negative. It currently holds a rare 0%.
Oh my gosh.
Approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And that's hard to get. Rotten Tomatoes is generally, like, a shitty film generally gets around 30%. This is zero. This is absolutely despised.
Right.
So it's lower than Paul Blart Mall Cop 2?
Yeah, it is lower than Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. I think it's easy to say in an accent. Like, that was tricky. Yeah, and also a bit of trivia was, it was the first Disney Princess Christmas movie officially released.
Are there any others?
Is there another one? Oh, there's actually one with, like, all the princesses together, isn't there?
Probably.
It's like they're all hanging out. Yeah, I think I saw that when I was looking for this.
That sounds Kingdom Hearts crossover. But, yeah, so I think that's pretty much it for today's ep. Tyler, where can the viewers, if they enjoyed hearing your voice, want to hear more of it, where can they track you down?
I host 3 other shows. One of them is actually wrapping up very soon. That's the Adam Sandcast, where we watch all of Adam Sandler's films in chronological order. I also host the Cynical Cartoons podcast, which is my main show. It used to be about Rick and Morty, and then it was about BoJack Horseman, and now we just talk about weird Saturday morning cartoons like Rubik the Amazing Cube or Turbo Teen, which Dan was actually on quite a bit ago, if you guys want to go check that out. And my third show is the Super Fast Flash Cast, where we talk about CW's The Flash in under 20 minutes or your money back. That's the thing I say. And
nice.
If you want to follow me, I'm at Futurist Pod on Twitter.
Awesome. It was great to have you.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was great to have you. Spiced it up a little, give that a little bit of extra flair.
Oh, indeed, indeed.
Do you guys have guests on every episode? Because the other one that I listened to, you didn't have.
No, we've been trying to get guests on. We've had like guests scheduled. We're meant to have my friend on for Rescuers, but we had a scheduling issue, so he's not coming on later. From here on out, I think it's guests for pretty much every app.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool.
But
well, if you guys have any other drop-offs, you know, I love doing guests on other people's shows, so I'd definitely come back if you need someone in a pinch.
Awesome. Definitely.
Keep that in mind.
Well, one thing I want to announce real quick also is that we're not on here yet, but we have been approved for Google Play Music, so our podcast is going to be on there. Woohoo!
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, that just to let you listeners know. Woohoo!
When is that actually coming? Because I know that all of my shows have been approved for that, too, and I don't know when they're actually making that update.
I don't know either, to be honest. I just got the email yesterday. Okay. So,
at some point.
Yeah, it just says we'll be notified.
If for whatever reason you're planning on switching over from iTunes or whatever app you're currently using on Android to just Google Play Music, it'll be up there at some point.
Mm.
But yeah, so I hope if you're listening to this, I hope you didn't listen to this on Christmas Day. You should be with family or something. It'd be a really downer if you watched this along with the film. on Christmas Day, gather them around instead of putting on It's a Beautiful Life.
I'm going to listen to this with my family. We're going to put it on the surround sound. Yeah, get some eggnog. Yeah.
It could become a Christmas tradition, listening to this episode of the podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, if you want to get in contact with us, you can either email didwenneedthatsequelpodcast@gmail.com or I believe it's at DWTNS for Twitter. Am I right, Danielle?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can tweet us there.
Or DWNTS.
NTS, yep. DWNTS. We're also on
podcast.
Yeah, also on WordPress.
Yes, we're didwenneedthatsequel.wordpress.com.
Get in contact with us if you like the show. Leave a star rating and a review on iTunes so that you can. Five stars. Nothing
five
less.
Five stars.
Please.
Yeah. The cash cows find you.
Because. Basically, it means we get free promotion on iTunes, and then you have more people to talk about this podcast with. So, I hope everyone has a safe and happy holiday season. I've been Daniel.
I've been Danielle.
And I've been Dan.
Hey.
I've been Tyler.
And we'll talk to you soon.